ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So we're at the assembly. The princess has been brought before. She's put a question to Dhritarashtra and the assembly of kings. That is correct what's going on. And so everyone is silent, you know, except of course Duryodhana and you know, Dushasana, Shakuni, and Karna, right? Karna is just foolish. He's envious of the Pandavas. Dushasana is the younger brother. He's also foolish. Duryodhana is, you know, just envy personified. And Shakuni, of course, is just egging them on so they'll be destroyed because he doesn't care that he's destroyed because his whole family is been destroyed. So he's only alive just to destroy the Kauravas like that. You know, he'd like to avoid the Pandavas. But the point is that by insulting the Pandavas, that would be the destruction of the Kauravas. So he's fully encouraging it. So then, then Draupadi spoke again. Yudhishthira was summoned to this assembly by the king, right? Not by Duryodhana, but by the king. And although he does not possess skill at dice, he was made to play with a skillful, wicked, and deceitful gambler. So her point is, Bhishma's point that he knew it was bad, he still played. But she's saying is that, no, but Dhritarashtra called him. Dhritarashtra knew what was going on. He's just following his authority. So yes, he may know it's wrong, he may know that this is bad and all that, but he's following the Dharma of respecting his elders like that. Because if they weren't doing that, then a long time ago, the Pandavas just would have gone off, done their own thing. They wouldn't have come back to, Hastinapur and then asked for some place and then gotten half the kingdom and come to prosper. They just would have come in and killed everybody. Right? Because, or even before that, if they weren't, they would have, you know, because once they had Draupadi sing, Draupadi was ready. He'll take his arm, let's go march on Hastinapur. You're the rightful heirs. Like that. You know, so many ways they could have gone about it. But the point is he's following authority, and that's why the story has progressed, and things have gone so nicely for the Kauravas. What they're not catching is that Yudhishthira's doing well, all the Kauravas are well, because they consider them all one dynasty. But Duryodhana doesn't. He thinks, no, just they are, we're not. So it said, how then can he be said to have staked anything voluntarily, right? So this is the point, is in general she's saying this, but also to Bhishma's point. He has been deprived of his senses by the contrivances of sinful men acting together, right? Because it's all of them acting together and him on himself, and he doesn't know all these things. So it's not even one-on-one. It's not like Duryodhana is there, he's throwing the dice, sometimes winning, sometimes losing. Yudhishthira's throwing the dice, sometimes winning, sometimes losing. No, it's just the three of them together, you know, among others, with the sanction of the king, then they are cheating. This act lacks all propriety and will be condemned by all wise men. And we'll see throughout the Mahabharata, until the war, everybody does condemn it. Here in this hall are many leaders of the Bharata race. Let them reflect on my words and answer my question. Dushasana began to harshly insult Draupadi. Right? He has nothing to say. He's an idiot. He's a brute. Right? She wept grievously and looked towards her helpless husband. Bhima was afflicted beyond all endurance. Finally, giving vent to his anger, he said to Yudhishthira, gamblers have in their houses many loose women, but they never stake even those women at dice. Right? Because other women, women are in their own category. You don't deal with them in this way. They move in their world, the men move in their world, and they have how these worlds connect. But you don't deal with them like this. It's not within the world. That means the men can't deal like this with women. It's just against the rules. It's not like they could. They keep saying, oh, you're a slave, we can do what we like. No, you can't. They're rules. Like that. Like I said, even a slave, when, let's say, you buy new furniture, right? So a rich person, they buy new furniture when it's just, it's to them, it's old. They want something different, or, one little corner is worn out, or the kid spilled something on it, there's a stain in one corner. So it's perfectly good. That, they can't sell that. That's given to the servants. So same with their old clothes or old things like that. They don't, like nowadays, have a flea market and sell it all. No, they give it to the servants. So the servants basically they live like kings, like that. So there's rules. So these things where they say, no, we're in control, we can do anything. This is just the foolishness of the conditioned living entity. That's why this mentality keeps them in the material world. You can't get out of the material world thinking, no, I can do whatever I want, I'm in control. Like this. They always remind kind towards them. You have staked and lost all our gems, jewels, gold, armors, animals, weapons, and whatever other wealth we possess, including our very selves. Even at this, my anger was not excited. But I consider your gambling, because the other thing is that you go out, you'll get again, if you need. But I consider your gambling with Draupadi abominable, which it is. Having attained us as her husbands, this innocent girl does not deserve to suffer in this way. Only because of you, she is now being persecuted by these low, despicable, cruel, and mean-minded Kurus. And when he says Kurus, he doesn't mean just Duryodhana at this point. He means them all, lock, stock, and barrel. Because who's saying anything? Who's standing up? Even Bhishma says something. He says, I can't figure out what's going on. Although you are my lord, I can hardly control my anger towards you. Right? So he's still doing, but he's, spoke his mind. Bhishma turned his massive shoulders towards the twins. I shall burn Yudhishthira's hands. Sahadeva, bring fire. Arjuna quickly caught hold of his brother. Bhima, do not speak in this way. You have never uttered such words before. Your morality has certainly been destroyed by this cruel foe. Right? So he's saying by their association, now even Bhima's morality is the weakened. Yeah, he's dealing, so roughly with his elder brother. And you can see he's speaking, proper words and making proper points. While Duryodhana and them, they're speaking, no proper words, no proper points. Do not fulfill our enemies' wishes, right? Because they want to see them broken up. That also annoys them, that they're also qualified and they're also committed to each other and they're so strong. Because five are considered a menace or an obstacle to 100. And they have Karna, Bhima, Drona, and they're still worried because they're so united. Their morality is so strong. Practice the highest virtue and remain obedient to your elder brother, right? And so that's what's there, and that's what Yudhishthira is doing with Dhritarashtra. So it's the same principle. Remembering a Kshatriya's duties, he has played today only on the king's command. Otherwise, if it had been Duryodhana had invited, and Duryodhana had to explain everything, then Yudhishthira would say, no, this is unfair, I'm not taking part. Because, see, a king is challenged, but it has to be a worthy challenge, and a worthy challenger. It's not just, oh, anybody challenges, you have to take, oh, what, you're scary, oh, you're a coward, you don't have to deal with these things. But to control your senses and walk off, that's the greater part about it, right? And against his own desire, right? He didn't want to play. He even mentioned it before. He was pointing out how it's wrong, how it's unlawful and that. But Dhritarashtra, with his smile on his face and laughing and completely oblivious, said, so what's happening now? What's going on? Is the match starting? Such an act will surely make him famous, which it is. We're reading about it 5,000 years later. We're not reading about it because of Duryodhana. We're reading about it because of Yudhishthira. Bhima calmed himself, checked by Arjuna's reproach. He looked down in shame. You are right, Dhananjaya. Our brother has surely acted in accordance with duty. Had I not known this, I'd have long ago snatched his arms and burned them in blazing fire. I would have done this way before. Because you see, Bhima's the more passionate one here.
Both brothers looked at Yudhishthira with distress. They knew he felt obliged by the presence of Dhritarashtra and Bhishma, because how Bhima, how are they allowing it to go on? If those two elders did not speak out against what was happening, then Yudhishthira would not object to the proceedings. Right? If they spoke out, then he would definitely, if they said, no, this is wrong, Duryodhana, you can't do this and that, then he would have also, because he did speak up. But when he saw they didn't go against it, then he went along with it, following the authority. And you see, it works out. There may be some immediate some trouble, but in the end, then, you know, whatever they lost before, they have all that back, and Duryodhana's kingdom. So before they had their kingdom in the world, now they have their kingdom, the world, and Duryodhana's kingdom, so they end up with more. Okay. So Duryodhana's hearty laughter rang out again, right? So they're following Dharma, so now he's taken it that now they're following my control. He doesn't understand this, no, they're controlling themselves. He, due to lack of control, is taking advantage of the situation. So it's a lowly person who takes advantage of the situation. Like the person comes and surrenders, you're supposed to then give shelter, but he surrenders and then you kill him like that. That's just taking advantage. That's against religion. So because he has a tendency towards sin, you know, like this, or irreligion like that, therefore then he said hearty laughter, you know, so it's giving him great pleasure. He was relishing his cousin's discomfort. He was especially enjoying Draupadi's distress, right? Because everybody wants, he came to marry Draupadi and he lost. So then naturally, you know, no one else should enjoy it. And remembering how she had laughed at him at the Maya Sabha. But, you know, he's the cousin brother. So cousin brothers, cousin sisters, like brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters laugh at each other. They someone does something wrong, they laugh. You know, the brother burps and they laugh at him. You know, that's just the thing, but he's taking it as a great insult to himself, and that, what about the family relationship, just what's there? You know, like that. She's not the wife, but she's the sister. So then, you know, this is what it is. But that's the point, is he can't, because of his demoniac nature, he can't see things as they are. He can't appreciate proper relationships, and that's a value. To him, just being in charge with no one else there that disturbs him, to them, him, that's the only pleasure. So that means nothing shallow, you know, basically, yeah. Draupadi buried her head in her hands and wept. Her husband glared furiously at the insolent Duryodhana, but still the Kuru elders remained silent. Suddenly, Dhritarashtra's son, Vikarna, stood up and spoke out. O kings, answer Draupadi's question, right? You know, they're just fluffing about. His point is, she's asked a question, you're in the sabha, she's asked a question, you are obliged to answer. If we do not decide a matter referred to us in the royal assembly, then we shall descend into hell. Right? It's said in Manu that when someone comes into the assembly and there is an injustice that's been done and they present that to the kings, that means that injustice is there. That means the dharma has been inflicted by a dart, you know, or something has been injured. So if you don't answer, like he said, that dart then goes to you. And so whatever injustice is there, you become destroyed by that. So that's why you see these kings are destroyed by not rectifying this. Like that. The injustice that's here is so great that it killed all of them. Dhritarashtra, Bhishma, Vidura, you are the eldest of the Kurus, yet you say nothing. You know, he's got a point. Why are Drona and Kripa silent? Right? They're the Gurus. You let the kings who have assembled here from all directions put aside their feelings and give Draupadi a proper answer. Right? So he's saying, if they won't do it, there's other kings here, qualified Kshatriyas, why don't they give an answer? If they were in their own court, they would have to give the answer. So they should do it. Vikarna looked around the assembly, but still no one spoke. Right? Because they'll be afraid of Duryodhana. He repeatedly asked that Draupadi's question be answered. She had been won or not, was she now the Kaurava's slave? The silence in the great hall was broken only by Draupadi's sobs. Right? Because everyone is that quiet. After another agonizing minute had passed, Vikarna said, If no one will respond, then I shall say what I consider just and proper. Right? So by my calculation, I will say what's happened. What? Because he is a Kshatriya, they come, no one else has answered, then I will answer. O best of men, it is said that there are four vices to which kings are prone: hunting, drinking, womanizing, and gambling. Right? The four related principles. And so that's why sometimes people think that, oh, Prabhupada made up these four related principles and that. No, they're right in Manu. So they were spoken at the beginning of their creation 151 trillion years ago. And kings have a problem with that. In other words, the sons, there's passion and all that. Then they have this problem. So when Parasaram then made his tour like that, what Kshatriyas could escape, though most didn't, but what could escape, they went, you know, out of India through Central Asia into Europe. So they settled Europe, and then later on in these, you know, in these contemporary times, and those remnants of Kshatriyas from before, then their cultures come up, and then they try to control the world. And what is the basis of their, you know, lifestyle? What is their ashram dharma? Breaking the four regular principles. So as you say, they're prone towards that. So if they're trained, they can control it. If they're not trained, like in the contemporary, they have to. In fact, they make it sophisticated and refined, like that. The man addicted to these vices lives by forsaking virtue. Therefore, that which is performed by one under the sway of any of these sins cannot be taken seriously. Right? You can't say that, you know, he's a great personality or something. Madly under the influence of gambling and urged on by the sinful Shakuni, Yudhishthira staked this princess. So he's saying that gambling is going on here. Shakuni is urging him on, which he should. You know, normally you just, you know, so, you know, we play more, because they said it's a friendly dice, a game. So he's urging him, he's specifically targeting certain points to goad him on. You know, it's obvious to everyone, they're not stupid. You know. And so he's saying is, therefore, Yudhishthira's under this control, this gambling, and he's urged on by the sinful Shakuni, right? He's saying that, he's their own kind of associate. And so he's saying you can't take it seriously. So in his mind, this is all bogus and just should be thrown out. And he's, you know, in his mind, everything. Yudhishthira staked this princess. She belongs to all the Pandavas, who was lost after Yudhishthira had already lost himself. Nor was Yudhishthira playing the game willingly. Rather, the kings invited him here to oblige him to play an unfair match. So it was unfair from the beginning. Considering all this, I say that Draupadi has not been won. You can't say that he staked her as serious, because he's under the control of gambling. They brought her here to make it unfair, and that he's being goaded on. So from that angle, she hasn't been won. And he lost himself first. So once he's lost, she's lost with him. He can't, you know, he'd be lost, now he can't stay. Once he's lost himself, technically he can't gamble anymore. But Shakuni just trying to make Duryodhana happy by continuing. They're so happy in this, that he's just trying to find other ways to make it go. So that's the point at which it went. If they just stopped there, then that would have been it. But no, it's so enjoyable. They want to continue it on, even though there's nothing to continue with. So then they just go into realms of that are just, you know, illusory and that. So that's his point. As Vikarna sat down, the assembly was in an uproar. Practically everyone applauded him and censured Sakura. So you can see, this is what everybody thinks. The only one that doesn't think is, of course, Duryodhana, Shakuni, Karna, and Dushasana. And the other brothers may or may not. But you see, if they all uproar, then he said, accept them, you know, like that. And Dhritarashtra, he's just going along with it. So that means everybody else knew this, right? And all that. So then that was his point. So he did it. Out of anyone in the assembly, he acted according to Kshatriya Dharma and said something. So, you know, that has to be applied. Okay, so then, okay, we'll stop here and then we'll see what Karna said after this. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.